And that brings us to what we're going to be chatting about this morning. If the city of Cape Town says you owe them money, be it for water, for rates, for fines, for penalties, or anything else, it has accorded itself the power to unilaterally deduct a portion of the debt from your prepaid electricity purchases. Now, I think that I also saw this happening in the Klabega area earlier on during the course of this year. And this is it. We ask ourselves the question, what are the mechanisms of debt collection? Now, the city deducts between 30 to 90% of prepaid electricity purchases without giving consumers the opportunity to dispute that they are in arrears or that an offense was actually committed, giving rise to a fine and a penalty. So Brett Herron, the Good Party's Secretary General, is on the line to us this morning because they are going to be taking the city of Cape Town to the public protector, and they're going to be asking certain definite questions. Now, Brett, you know, we look at the story that I've actually just been chatting about, and we look at a pensioner who gets 1,800 rand a month, and this pensioner owes the city 33 or 37,000 rand in terms of water, and every time she buys electricity, that money gets deducted from that particular water. How legal is this, and what is the part of your petition and your sort of quest to the public protector? Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Zane. Look, I mean, that is the question is whether this debt collecting, if you can even call it debt collecting, because the debt hasn't yet been determined by any court of law, whether that is a legal process. And there's two questions, really, whether it's a legal process in terms of the city taking the law into its own hands. The city decides that you owe it money. It acts as the judge and then issues itself the powers to unilaterally take funds from you when you go and purchase prepaid electricity. The second part is whether it's lawful in terms of the National Electricity Act, which specifically excludes electricity tariffs, including any other charge. So the question that I've asked the public protector to consider is, first of all, whether this is a lawful debt collecting process. I think it is not. I think that a debtor or an accused, if it's a fine, it has the right to dispute the debt or that the offence was committed, and then it's up to the city to establish that the debt or the offence was committed, and the arbiter of that is a court of law. So I don't think the city can take the law into its own hands and simply take funds from you. And secondly, the National Electricity Act is very specific about what you can charge, and there is a provision in the Act which excludes other charges being used in the tariff system. So, I mean, the impact is really felt, I think, mostly by poor communities, vulnerable communities, and almost helpless communities who are not able to fight back. And throughout the election campaign, I came across families who were literally buying 10 rands worth of electricity, getting two units because 30 or 40% of that 10 rand was being deducted for so-called debt, able to cook a meal with those two units, and then the electricity ran out. And I don't think that is a humane way of providing basic services, and I think we need to change that system.
You know, I mean, Section 15 of the Electricity Regulation Act prescribes that a licensee may not charge a customer any other tariff and make use of provisions in agreements other than that determined or approved by the regulator as part of its licensing conditions. So basically, if you are selling as a third party, as the city of Cape Town is, or second party as the city of Cape Town is, that they're selling electricity on behalf of Eskom, you know, that they may not abuse the electricity tariff in order to collect other charges. Have you asked the city to gain access to their NERSA application? Because obviously that would be contained in that application, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is another part, and this is another part of my complaint. There's a pattern with the city of Cape Town and that where it obstructs transparency and accountability to residents. When I was engaging with community members, and this was a constant complaint throughout the election campaign, I made a PIA application, an access to information application, to the city of Cape Town, asking first of all for their NERSA application to see what they applied for, and secondly for what they were authorized to charge. I did so for two reasons. First of all, I wanted to see what their markup is on electricity, because electricity was increasingly becoming unaffordable to many people, including middle-class people. And secondly, to see whether they had authority to include debt collecting in their charges. The city refused to provide me with the NERSA application, claiming that it contained commercial information. Now, the city is not a business. It is our government that we elect, and it operates on our behalf.
And should be transparent.
Absolutely, it should be transparent, and there should be no basis for it to withhold what its application to NERSA was. So I'm a bit outraged that they refused to provide me with the NERSA application, but it is consistent with a pattern that I've seen over the last two or three years, where I've made applications for information or where I've asked questions in Parliament, where the city simply refuses to answer questions about tenders, about the appointments of staff, almost anything that you would expect a transparent government to share with the public, they refuse to answer.
Mm. One of the WhatsApp messages that's just come in from Ishmael out in the Wynberg area says, Zane, when we switched from the old electricity billing system to prepaid, we owed the city a couple of thousands in arrears, and we paid it off every time we purchased prepaid, and it worked well. But we don't agree with the city deducting other costs from prepaid. And this is it, isn't it? I mean, when you're a pensioner and you're a senior citizen, and you get told that you owe the city a total of 37,000 rands in terms of a water bill, which has not been proven that you actually factually owe the city that. It's a question of pay up, and we'll dispute it a little bit later. So where do people go? What are people's recourse, and what are you expecting the public protector to investigate, and what do you think, and I can't say what do you think the outcomes would be, but what are you hoping to sort of resolve with this investigation?
Well, I'm hoping that, I mean, and as you said in the introduction, that the practice started in the city of Cape Town, I believe, that has spread to other municipalities across the country. But I think the practice is wrong. The person who WhatsApped you now saying it worked well for them. It works well if you can afford to pay. And so you don't mind that, you know, you're settling a debt because you have ability to pay. But we must distinguish between those who can afford to pay and those who cannot, who have these high water bills, which should never be the case. I mean, you're talking about a 37,000 rand water bill. In Salt River, I met during the campaign someone who has a 1.3 million rand water bill arrears in a residential property in Salt River. It's simply not possible to ever overcome that debt. So what I'm hoping is the public protector will find that the practice is unlawful, and that municipalities must find other ways to collect debt from those who are able to pay, and they need to provide basic services to those who legitimately cannot afford to pay.
Yeah. And when are you expecting this to be heard by the public protector, and when can we expect an answer? Because, I mean, obviously the public protector is quite busy, and is there a turnaround time for this?
Well, in my experience, and I've lodged several complaints with the public protector or requests for investigation, the process is quite slow. It took about a year to get my first request for investigation to be completed. So, I mean, I'm hoping that the public protector sees that this is a large-scale issue affecting the most vulnerable and the poorest people in particular, who don't have the ability to pay and who are literally living from 10 rand to cook a meal to zero electricity for the rest of the day, and so that this matter gets urgent attention. I'm really hoping that it is fast-tracked.
Mm. We've got a voice note, but this has been happening for a long time. Why only bring this up now? But let's listen to the voice note, and you can answer us on that, Brett.
Zane, what's Brett talking now? This is Chris from Pinelands here. When Brett and Patricia were in the city, they already started this. Now suddenly he's like waking up to it. Ach, no, man, he must just sack. I'm sick of politicians and their cuck.
Brett, your answer there very quickly.
It's a very simple answer.
Yeah.
This matter is, I mean, yes, we were in the DA and this was a policy of the council, but I must tell you that that probably at least 40% of the councillors in that DA caucus objected to this policy. But the DA has a rule for all its public representatives that you are bound by caucus decisions. So when the deputy mayor at the time, Ian Nielsen, championed this policy, and it was put to the vote in our caucus. The majority of the members of the caucus supported it, despite the objections from councillors who represent poor communities. So yes, we were there and we were bound by a caucus decision. But fortunately, I'm no longer bound by the DA's positions on policy, and I can champion good policy, which is to make sure that poor people are not discriminated against.
Brett Herron, the good party secretary general, thank you so much for your time this morning, Brett, chatting to us and chatting to us about their quest to the public protector by the city, by them against the city of Cape Town to say collecting your rates or collecting water or collecting anything else from the electricity tariff is unlawful, and he has sent that application to the public protector.